This is the Missing People Podcast. Hello, I'm Steve Braunham. Welcome to the second section of Kelly's interview with Robert Lancaster, creator and webmaster of the website StopSylviaBrown.com. Their conversation continues.
Welcome back to the show, Robert. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us here tonight. I know that you've got a very busy schedule going on with everything that you're doing with the StopSylviaBrown.com website.
Glad to be here.
We were just talking about the Sean Hornbeck case, which was international and in which Sylvia had definitively said he was dead, and we all know that not to be true. What kind of effect do you think that had with her believers? Do you think it had much?
Well, with some of the true believers, certainly, but most of the diehard believers, you could show them that she was wrong in 99% of the cases, and they'd cling to the one case where they found that she's sort of right about something. But where that really helped is with a lot of fence sitters, a lot of people that kind of vaguely believed in her or didn't know if they believed in her or not, saw that story and definitively came down on the non-believing side of the fence. And that's where I think the strength of that story lies.
Now, there's another story of a missing person on your site. I'm not familiar with that case, so you'll need to let us know about that one. I'm sure that was just as interesting as the others.
Well, you're speaking, I think, of Linda McClellan?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, okay. Linda McClellan was a middle-aged woman. I don't have all the facts in front of me, who had disappeared from her home in, I believe it was Pennsylvania, in July of 2000. And 2 years later, she still had not shown up, and her two daughters appeared on the Montel Williams show to ask Sylvia Brown's help in locating their mother. And Sylvia told them that the mother was still alive, but was suffering from amnesia and some mental problems, and was in a mental home down in the Florida area. And that they would find her soon. All they had to do was call around to these various mental hospitals in the area of, I think it was Orlando, and they would soon find their mother. Well, that didn't happen, and they did not find their mother by calling those hospitals. And in March of 2003, Linda McClellan's body was found within a couple of miles of her home in Pennsylvania. And the police were led to the body by a man who testified that he had buried the body as a favor to one of the daughter's husbands who had murdered Linda McClellan way before on the very night she disappeared. So it was way before the daughters were on the Montel Williams show. So yet another case where Sylvia Brown was very, very wrong. And I'd like to stress that I have these cases on the side of these missing person cases where Sylvia was very wrong. And I occasionally get letters from her fans saying, well, why don't you put up some of the stories where she was right? And I have emailed them back every single time and said, give me an example. Give me an example of a time where she made a prediction about a missing person case or possibly a murder case where it was documented ahead of time, such as on the Montel Williams show, and where that information either led to the finding of the missing person or led to the solving of a murder. I'll write that up. I can believe that it could happen. And like they say, even a stopped clock is right twice a day. I mean, she gives predictions day after day after day. You know, one of them's got to be correct at some point just by chance. And every single one of these people that I have written back to and requested that they send me some of these examples, I never hear back from them, or they write back and say, well, they're in her books. You should read her books. And I read some of her books, and usually the cases that she mentions are mentioned with so vague detail that they could never be confirmed or refuted. So if any of your listeners are aware of any such story, please email me on the site, and I'll investigate it, I'll write it up, and I'll put it up for everyone to read. But I have yet to hear of one.
And you actually just answered my next question, which was, has she solved any cases? And yes, that's certainly my findings as well from doing research on psychics when I was writing the blog and even afterwards. So correct me if I'm wrong, but to this day, there is not a single proven case of a psychic, not just Sylvia Brown, but a psychic locating a missing person. And these are the key words, using paranormal means. Am I correct in that, Robert?
As far as I know, you are correct. I have heard the same thing, and I have never seen any case to refute that.
And, you know, some people will say, well, I heard of this one or that one, but we never really have all the facts. And sometimes, as you mentioned before, if you make a number of guesses, a certain percentage of them are going to be right. And so when you have public knowledge about a missing person's case in the newspaper, on TV, news, you're going to have some facts public, such as maybe areas where they're searching. And so through the process of elimination and perhaps having some inside information from police or family members, you might guess right. And I think some of the cases where people claim that a psychic found a missing person, well, perhaps they did, but the key is, was it through paranormal means? And that just is not proven at this point.
I agree.
Now, you've got other stories on your site. They're not just all about missing people. They're about Sylvia's claims in general. And what do you feel are some of the most striking ones that definitely show that there is something not quite right with this situation?
Well, the most striking are the ones with the missing people, but there are others such as, well, another one that has gotten a lot of play on the web is a young woman appeared on the Montel Williams show, was just a member of the audience, and then the members of the audience get to stand up and ask Sylvia questions. And this young woman stood up and said that her boyfriend is dead, and they never found his body. And before she could even finish the sentence, Sylvia Brown said, well, that's because he's in Waterhunt. And when the body's in water, they never find it. And the woman interrupted her at that point and told her that her boyfriend, her fiancé, as a matter of fact, who had died a few years ago, was one of the firefighters who had perished in 9/11 at the World Trade Center. So no, he had not drowned. This was, as far as I can tell, Sylvia Brown just playing the odds. Again, when a body has not been found for several years, you can say anything, and saying the body is in water is an old standby. It's an old standard quite often. If someone drowns, the body isn't found for years, if at all. So Sylvia Brown at that point tried to turn that around. It was quite a stunned silence from the whole crowd, and Sylvia herself realized that she had just stuck her foot in her mouth. And Sylvia said, well, he was a fireman. There was water when he was trying to put out the fire. So that's the water he's showing me. He's showing me water, that he's all filled with water. And she danced around and tried to come out of it better than she did. And so that's another fairly striking case. And I was contacted, after I put that story up on the website, I was contacted by that young woman who had only recently learned that there were copies of that video of Sylvia Brown telling her that all over the web, on YouTube and various other sites, and she was horrified by it. She had been horrified during the reading. She knew, she told me, that Sylvia Brown did not have the powers that she had been led to believe she did. And she called, she contacted the Montel Williams show the next day and begged them to edit that out. She did not want her fiancé's memory besmirched by Sylvia Brown being involved in it somehow. And
sure.
her request was not honored, and the clip was shown, and now it's all over the web. I honored her request to take her picture down off of my webpage, and I also took down links to some of the videos around of it. But her story is now told in a little bit more detail on my site. A recent article that just went up is investigating one of her claims, and one of her books, Insight is the name of the book. She claims that she was more or less responsible for saving Ronald Reagan's life back in 1981. And she talks about him being, she had read somewhere that he was planning to attend a celebration in Egypt on October 6th of 1981, which Sylvie Brown says in the book was a celebration of the Arab-Israeli peace accord that had been signed in 78. And that she had a vision that there was going to be violence and that the president would be a victim of it if he was there. And so she says she got in contact with Nancy Reagan and warned her, and Ronald Reagan's trip was canceled and he did not go. Well, that day, October 6, 1981, was the day that Anwar Sadat, the president of Egypt, was assassinated at this parade. However, this parade was not, this whole celebration was not in honor of the Arab-Israeli Peace Accord. October 6th is Armed Forces Day in Egypt, and at that time it was also known as Victory Day, and they celebrated on that day in honor of an October 6th, I believe it was 1973, attack on the Israelis that the Egyptians had, which began the Yom Kippur War. And so the whole celebration was a celebration of attacking Israel. An American president is not going to attend that kind of a ceremony. There's no evidence anywhere that I could find that he had intended to be there or that he canceled such plans. So I then contacted the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library and asked them if they knew of any plans he had, and I was emailed back by an archivist there who researched it and said not only was it terribly unlikely given the true nature of the event, but he could find no evidence of it anywhere in their archives that there was any such plans or that any such plans had been canceled. I also asked him to see if he could find any evidence that Sylvia Brown had ever contacted Nancy Reagan, and he found no evidence of that either. So it's just another example to me of her claiming to be involved in something that she wasn't, and making a prediction, a post-diction, because it's after the fact, years later, and saying that she knew there was going to be violence there 25 years ago. Well, why didn't she document that then? If you document a prediction before the events that it's predicting happen, it's a little bit more credible than documenting them 25 years later.
Why do you think a person would write about something like that that can be proven? I guess I'm just perplexed as to why you would make such a claim, especially quite an outlandish claim like that. It just doesn't appear that she did her homework even as to what the event was.
Well, I don't know why she would make such a claim without doing some research. My only theory about that is she knows that the majority of people that buy and read her books are her fans who already believe in her. And a lot of those people, they will believe whatever she tells them. And that's one of the things that she states in a lot of her books and in her theology, is that take what you believe and leave the rest behind. So that encourages people to, okay, if there's something in this that you don't buy, well, go ahead and buy the rest of it. You know, don't make that question the rest of it. Go ahead and accept everything else. Just forget about this piece that you had a hard time swallowing. And so that I think, is why she went ahead and put a claim that was so easily refuted in the book. Now, as to whether anyone else that had already refuted it, not to my knowledge.
What do you think it would take for someone who's such a firm believer in her to look at it with different eyes, to look at it in a different way and realize there's just something not quite right with what she says and what she does? Do you think it would take something personal? How can you get them to finally believe what is really actually staring them right in the face?
Well, I get letters, emails rather, all the time from people who had believed in her, but no longer do. And it varies from case to case as to what was the event that finally opened their eyes to what was really going on. With some of them, it was actually having a reading with Sylvia Brown and finding out that absolutely nothing she told them was true, or that everything that she told them was so generic it would be true of anybody. And that opens some people's eyes. One of her sons, Chris Dufresne, is also supposedly a psychic, and she recommends if people can't afford her phone readings, by the way, are $750 for a 20 to 30 minute phone reading. Son charges, I believe, it's $450 for the same 20 to 30 minutes. So there are people that she encourages, well, if you can't afford me, take my son. And so there are people who have readings with him, and again, they're either totally wrong or very generic, and that opens their eyes. They've spent $750 or $450 and gotten nothing back from it, and they're embarrassed by it. That's the case with some. With some, they actually have read my website. They stumble across it while looking for information for Sylvia Brown on the web. I've been very fortunate in that with all the support the site is getting. If you Google Sylvia Brown, my site is the third entry that you see right after her site and one of the other pages on her site. Stop Sylvia Brown is the number three entry right now. And so a lot of people look for her and say, oh, what is this? Why would someone want to stop such a lovely person? And they go to my site, and some of them read through it, and by the time they're done, they are rethinking their belief. Some of them, I just planted a seed of doubt that hopefully will take root at some later date. Some of them say that they really hated my site when they first read it, but then they started watching her appearances on the Montel Williams show with a little different eye after I explained some of her cold reading techniques and what cold reading is. They suddenly are seeing her readings in a different light, and eventually they some of them change their minds. So as I say, with each one, it's different and very personal as to what changed their minds. The Sean Hornbeck story opened a lot of eyes and got a lot of people reconsidering their belief and why they were believing in her. Was it simply because of what she says she can do, or was it because they'd actually seen her do something? And in a lot of cases, it's some of these people that tell me, put up some of her success stories. And I say, well, tell me the success stories. And they'll say, well, they're in her books. And someone is not a really trustworthy, someone is not an objective judge of whether or not they're honest. If someone is a con artist, you don't ask them if they're a con artist. They're not going to tell you, sure, I am. And so with someone making a claim like this, you just don't take their word for it. And that's what a lot of people do. They read her books and say, wow, look at all these incredible things. She saved Ronald Reagan's life. What an amazing woman. And they never really stop to analyze the evidence. And my site is hopefully encouraging people to do that.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of opening people's eyes, as you know, and probably quite a few of our listeners know, that the reason that I did the Psychic and Missing People blog series was to specifically open up the eyes of the families of the missing, because they're so desperate for answers. They're so desperate to find that missing person. It's such a horrible thing to live without knowing. And so when what they possibly perceive as help comes along in the form of psychics offering help, whether it even be for free or for money, to find their missing loved one, so many times they will take them up on it. And then, as we know, what they get in return for that supposed help would be pain, wasted resources, taking away hope where hope should still be there, or giving them hope where there shouldn't be any hope. And I just feel like nobody has the right to do that. That's a horrid thing. And we certainly hope that through that series that we have helped families understand the techniques used by these persons and give them the ability to basically just say no, that they can, there are many other things that they can do not to engage the psychics. Now, I know that you don't have a missing person in your life, but you've certainly done a lot of research on the topic. So if somebody walked up to you and told you that they have someone missing in their life and that they were considering pursuing use of psychics, from your perspective, Robert, what would you tell them?
Well, I'd tell them some of the things that you and I have already discussed on the show, that there is no proof of any psychic ever being of help in one of these cases using psychic methods. I would encourage them, if a psychic was approaching them and saying, I know where your missing person is, or I can help you find your missing person, I would encourage them to tell this so-called psychic to take whatever information they have to law enforcement. Don't engage them. Don't get involved with a psychic. It will cause you pain and suffering and waste your time and, as you say, waste resources. With the Sean Hornbeck case, when Sylvia Brown told the Akers that their son was near some jagged boulders 20 miles southeast of where they lived, they reallocated resources and sent searching parties out in that area looking for two jagged boulders, when those resources might have been put to much better use, and who knows what would happen had those resources been better used. It's when a person is in a desperate situation, and obviously having a missing loved one is such a situation, they'll reach out to anyone for help, and in doing so, they sometimes will reach out to someone who, if their mind was a little clearer, they wouldn't have done so. And when you reach out to someone in a situation like that, sometimes the person you reach out to doesn't have your best interest in heart. And these phony psychics are a prime case of that.
Yep, I would certainly agree that they don't have your best interest at heart, even though some of them seem well-meaning. They look like they're nice people. They act reasonable. But what they do is definitely inexcusable in my book. And we say the same thing. We say, if you think that you know something, take it to law enforcement. And of course, at that point, a lot of times we get resistance. They don't want to do that. And it makes me wonder why, because if you're confident of your abilities, whatever those abilities might be, then I would think, and also if you claim to want to help, I would think that you would take your information and take it to the person who would investigate it, which of course would be law enforcement.
Exactly. Some of these people are out for the money. Some are out for the attention. And I assume that there are some who truly believe they have these abilities. But again, none of them are proven. And until they're proven, why use them? Why waste your time, your resources? Why put your heart there where it's going to get hurt? Send them to law enforcement, and if they can help, great. If they can't, they're out of your hair. They're no longer preying on you.
Now, it does seem sometimes, and correct me if I'm wrong, that if you open the door to them, others come. Have you heard of that phenomena?
It doesn't surprise me. I have not heard of it, but with any con, once you're known as an easy mark to one kind of con, it's going to open the door for other cons to get in touch with you. This is true of just about any kind of con artist. And until psychics are ever proven to be real, I put them in that category.
And I have heard of something called the psychic mafia, which I believe is stated as kind of they network with each other and provide each other with information. So if one of them approaches a family of missing and doesn't really get anywhere, but they have gained some information from them, they'll share it with other psychics so that when the other psychic approaches them, they seem more credible because they know things that, to the family's perspective, they couldn't possibly have known. Is that correct, that there is such a thing as a psychic mafia? Have you heard of that?
Well, there's a book by that name, The Psychic Mafia, and it was written, I believe, back in the 70s, and whether that practice is still around today of so-called psychics sharing information with each other. I don't know, but it's likely, and it's something you need to consider whenever someone seems to know something that there's no way they could otherwise know.
Now, just going back to for a minute to Sylvia's, I think, near weekly appearances on the Montel Williams show, Montel Williams has a lot of fans who believe, you know, he's an upstanding guy and he's done a lot of very good things. And so the question is, well, if Montel has her on his show, she must be okay. What do you say to that?
Well, she definitely gains a lot of credibility with certain people because she's on his show, and she's on his show regularly. A lot of people would think, as you say, Montel, this swell guy who helps people out in certain situations and crusades for certain causes. Well, you know, why would he have a fraud on his show? So she's got to be real. That's, I'm sure, the logic that some people use goes. Whether Montel truly believes in her abilities or whether he believes in the ratings that her appearances bring in, I don't know. I can't know what's inside the man's head. But yes, she has gained, I would imagine, the majority of her popularity has been through her appearances on the Montel Williams show. She's on weekly. She's been on his show for years, but she's been a weekly guest since at least 2003. And they push her books every show. They push her latest book, and it's a huge commercial for her.
This concludes the second section of Kelly's interview with Robert Lancaster. You're listening to the Missing People Podcast, copyright 2007, all rights reserved and held jointly by the Missing People Podcast and Project Jason. Original music created and performed by Ariana Kemaw. Original music created and performed by Janelle Rapp. For more information on Project Jason, please go to projectjason.org. And don't forget to check out Robert's website at stopsylviabrown.com. For my co-host, Kelly Jolkowski, I'm Steve Braunham with the Missing People Podcast.
How little I know. she's out there somewhere, maybe in a fall just like me. And maybe her wipers won't move, and maybe her defrost won't turn on, and maybe her battery's gone dead and she can't.